The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Al-Hujja, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, and to each and every one of you. As we gather on this night to commemorate the Istishhad anniversary of our fourth Imam, Imam As-Sajjad, Zain al-Abideen, alayhima afdalu salatu wassalam. When we look at the life of our Imam, you know, with all of our Imams, there are certain things about them that are highlighted, that we remember more frequently about them. And oftentimes what happens is that these things that we know about them or that are repeated really often paint a picture about the Imam in our heads. Right? It is not done purposely, but it's subconsciously when things are repeated, a picture gets formed. So for example, Imam Ali, we think about him being brave, and so that's the picture that we have. Imam al-Hasan, we feel like with the thing that's repeated is he signed a treaty with Muawiyah, and so a picture from that gets developed. A picture that gets developed in our minds based on our fourth Imam's life is two things. One is his illness. His illness in Karbala, it is repeated so often, and there is no doubt that his illness played a significant role in what happened in Karbala. But what happens is that this illness begins to define how we perceive our Imam, right? And the second thing is his crying, his tears, right? And so I want to talk about these two things because I don't think we're intentionally doing disservice to the Imam. These two things are significant in what he tried to accomplish or what his goal was to accomplish. But it's important that we do not pigeonhole him in such a way. Rather, realize, take a step back and try to realize that what role did these two things have in the grand scheme of things? His illness, number one, and his buka, his tears. When we look at his illness, you know, there's, since the time that we are children, this is what we've been hearing, right? Bichara bimar hata, right? He was sick. Even when we do dua, yeah, bihaqqi bimari Karbala, we say, right? And so as if like that is what or who he was, you know? But the fact is, you know, there are a couple of things that we have to understand about the illness of the Imam alayhi salam that transpired in Karbala. Number one, this was temporary. Yeah, it was absolutely temporary, right? It happened while he was in Karbala, and according to historians, that by the time he even got to Kufa, the illness had almost faded by then. And so by the time he got to Sham, the illness was all but gone from that perspective, right? It was a very temporary incident or a temporary event that took place. Now, yes, was he weak? Of course, he was being beat the whole time from Karbala to Kufa to Sham. Literally being beat, right? Was he weak? Of course, he had chains tied around his neck and chain tied around his hands. The weakness was there, right? His heart had just been smashed and broken at what he saw and what he continued to see. So the weakness that the Imam is described with in our maqtals, be it in Kufa or be it in Sham, is not necessarily from the illness. It is because of whatever else was transpiring. The illness was temporary. That's number one. We have to keep that in mind. Number two, now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying like we reach out to him as a wasila for those who are sick. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, right? So I know people hear what they want to hear sometimes. Yeah? Don't hear that. That's not what I'm saying, right? I want us to understand this. The second thing is that this illness served a purpose by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly works in mysterious ways, right? And if we just put aside miracles, which are events that cannot be duplicated again, right, by normal human beings, put that aside. There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make sure get carried out in this world. And He utilizes the material system causation in this world to make sure that what He wants to see happen, happens. In Karbala, He wanted to make sure that the silsila of imamat continues. How do we guarantee that? By making sure that the one who is supposed to be the next imam cannot fight in Karbala. Right? Because if he could fight in Karbala, it would be his wajib to fight in Karbala. You understand or no? Right? Even when we look at the maqtal, that there came a time when Aba Abdullah alayhi salam was all alone and he called out to do Itmam al-Hujjah, final declaration, right? Hal min nasirin yansuruna, hal min mughithin yughithuna, anybody there to come and help the haram of Rasulullah, the family of Rasulullah. What happened at that time? Who rose? Sajjad rose. Yeah, Sajjad rose. Yeah? And the Maqtal is very specific about it, right? He rose. Umm Kulthum alayhi salam runs after him, says, come back. And he says, my aunt, my imam is calling me. How can I not go? Yeah? But his condition was such where he could barely hold a sword, the Maqtal says, right? And so this is the way God works. Like if you look at, there are examples everywhere. If you look at the Quran, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the mother of Musa alayhi salam to put him in a basket and let him go, what did he say? I promise you, I will return him to you. Right? He promised, I will return him to you. How did he return him? By making sure that Musa did not drink the milk of any other woman. This is a material causation. This is not something that extraordinary event or a miraculous event from that perspective. It was something that till today children may do. They may not accept the milk of certain women, for example, right? But this was an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, I want something to be carried out. And I'm going to make sure that it's carried out in this way. I tell you, right? These are not things that happen only for prophets or a'imma. I'm telling you, if we were to analyze our lives, we would see so many instances where God is pushing us a direction, but my stubbornness keeps fighting what God wants me to do. Keeps fighting, yeah? And so when we look at this illness of the imam, it's really important that we remember that, you know, he was not someone who was sickly, weak. No, he was the son of Haydar al-Karrar. Yeah? He was the son of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Yeah? He was the son of Hussein. Yeah? The nephew of Abbas, the brother of Ali ibn al-Akbar. This ran in their blood. Yeah? This was who they were, right? It was something that was very temporary. And again, if we just come out from this particular situation of his illness, we see the bravery of Sajjad throughout his history. You know, there are two incidents I will give you. One, immediately in Kufa, we know this incident that when the Mal'un ibn Ziyad sees our fourth Imam alayhi salam, right? He asks him that, who are you? And he says that you are, he's Ali ibn Hussein. He says, قَدْ قَتَلَ اللَّهُ عَلِي بِنْ حُسَيْن. And look at the arrogance of this man. He says, Allah has killed, I have heard that Allah already killed Ali bin Hussein. He says, قَدْ كَانَ لِي أَخٌ يُسَمَّ عَلِي بِنْ حُسَيْن فَقَتَلَهُ النَّاسِ, the Imam says. Yeah? He says that I had a brother by the name of Ali bin Hussein as well, and people killed him. And then he says, no, Allah killed him. And so he reads this verse, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّ الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا. Indeed, it is Allah who takes the soul. But it was people who killed it. And this angered Ibn Ziyad, right? We know this story. It angered Ibn Ziyad. He gave instructions to hurt or to kill our fourth Imam alayhi salam. And of course, we know at this point what happens. Zainab alayhi salam stands up. Right? And she says that you have done enough killing. that if you want to hurt him, you will have to go through me. And that's generally where we stop, you know. But you know, the Maqtal says that at this time, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam stands up and he says, Ya Ammati, let me speak. Yeah, let me say something. And then he comes close to Ibn Ziyad. So it's not like he stood from far, right, and said and whispered a murmur. No, he came. It says, ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْهِ. He went to Ibn Ziyad. And he says, أَبِالْقَتْلِ تُحَدِّمُنِي. He says, do you threaten me with death? Yeah. He says to him, يَبْنَ زِيَادْ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْقَتْلَ لَنَا عَادَ وَكَرَامَتَنَا الشَّهَادَ. Yeah. He says, you scare me? You think you scare me with death? He says, do you not know that death is ordinary for us and martyrdom is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareemun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه